Hey man, what a wonderful sight tonight. Can you just give me a minute? I'm just going to take this in for a second. See all your wonderful faces here. Really brings joy to my heart to see you. I'm glad you made it. Surely the Lord has blessings for all. You know what the catch is? Only believe, and it'll be there for you. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to read a little while and try to bring out what little part the Lord has given me to give to you. And I want you to get in your heart an open mind and an open spirit, because God is going to sow something good in your life tonight. I feel it. When God gave it to me, I felt it. I felt like God was going to take this and implant it deeply in the hearts of those who are wanting to grow. You just be willing to receive this, and God's going to do an amazing work in your life. Let's go ahead and read some of this. And I want to place the most important emphasis to the very first thing we're going to read in verse 1. To everything, say this phrase with me, there is a season. Let's say that one more time. There is a season. I'm just going to pause right there and let us really, because you read the rest of that and you know you'll hear it preached at funerals a lot, brother, but I don't believe that God gave it just to be a funeral message. He wanted this to go to not only those that have went on, but he wanted us to have it as we were alive. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. I feel like some of you are in some of this right now. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather them together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, watch out, and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything, say that with me, beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. It takes different seasons in our lives for God to get our attention, to awaken us to spiritual values, to challenge us with the reality of life and death and Christian commitment and what he would have us to do with our lives. As you read of some of these, maybe you find yourself and identify with the passage before you. And as we read from the words of the preacher as he is addressed in the word, we find that in this part of Ecclesiastes, he's trying to search for and obtain the meaning of life, to understand what his purpose is for being here, trying to find value in what is left of his life. And I stand before you today as somebody who wants to be living a fulfilling life. Let me ask you tonight, how many of you want to lead fulfilling lives? And I know that we may be down, we might be hurting, but we still want to live a fulfilling life. And before I go any further in this, I want you to know one thing. The enemy comes to take your fulfillment. He comes to steal your purpose. He seeks to have you roaming this world as he does, looking for what you can take, looking for what you can kill, looking for what you can destroy. He would have you to look upon him for your strength, to live in your anger, and to be upset continually with your circumstance. And God has come. God has come and sent Jesus Christ to all of us so that we would no longer walk around in this world without purpose. How many of you can agree with that tonight? He has come so that we can have what? Life and it more abundantly. So that means he wants your life to be fulfilling. He wants you to live with purpose. And today I'm fighting every day to live with purpose. Today I'm fighting for my life and my joy and my happiness. But friends, tomorrow's going to come. Maybe not for everyone, but for some of us, tomorrow's coming. And as we read of these parts in the Word of God, you'll find yourself in these seasons. You read about in Genesis chapter 8 about the entrance of the seasons into the world that declared that we would have four seasons on earth. I know that the weather's been kind of strange lately, but we're entering into fall. We're entering into a different season. We've been hot. We've been sunburnt. We've enjoyed the lake. It's been great. It's been wonderful. But the leaves are about to begin to turn. A new season is upon us. And some of you can identify that where you are today is not how you felt 2 weeks ago. That where you're standing right now is not where you were a year ago. When I look at my life, I look back at 8 years ago. And you know what? I was in a different season in my life. I was in addictions. I was in bondage. I didn't have anything to my name. Man, what a downtime in my life. But the season that I'm in now is far more prosperous than the season that I once lived in. The Lord does not bring us through anything for us to live as we used to live in this season. But God has brought all of us. Somebody say me. He has brought all of you through something amazing. And if we learn to only just give God the glory, what a blessing that God has in store for you. Glory to God. Look back at something that God's brought you through and just lift up one hand in here tonight and say, thank you, Lord. How easy we can just honor God when we see our brethren standing together. But when everybody comes in at around 6 o'clock and the singing starts, and we're looking around at, well, what's going to happen and who's going to do what? And I wonder what the service shall become. And I wonder what my part will be. I wonder what my purpose shall become. Who, Lord, shall I go to? What, God, shall I do? And as we sit in this moment, the enemy comes to take you, distract you, and pull your mind away to previous seasons. But all the Lord said is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's really that simple. If you come in here and we enter into thanksgiving together, then it opens up our hearts for God to do great things. But I want you to know tonight that God has put this word in me to remind you that you have a purpose. Oh, yes, you do. You have a calling and you have gifts. And the Lord wants you to be using all of them so that your life can be fulfilled. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. I know that you might not want to be happy, but God would have you to be happy. There's a lot of people that maybe you go to work with that doesn't want to see you happy. They get pleasure out of pushing your buttons, but God would have you to walk in peace. Come on, somebody help me preach tonight. He would have you to walk in peace. He would have you to walk in love. He would have you to walk in the power and anointing of God. In other words, he wants you to walk with some purpose. So tonight I'm here preaching because I know my purpose. I know what God has called me to do. And whether you put me here or in this building or at that church or this church, what God has given me, I'm going to do wherever that I go. And if God has called me to be happy, then I'm going to be happy even when everything else in that season tells me that I've got to be sad. You know, that God has called us to be prosperous. So even when I'm going through a season where I'm not able to spend and I'm not able to buy like I want to, I still know that I'm rich. I still know in whom provides for me. I still know the one who gives me everything that I seek for. To live with purpose is to live in spite of your lack, to live in spite of your faults, and to let God fulfill and complete your weakness. We are weak so that he is made strong, right? And it's safe to say that we all, some of us kids, some of us are in our teenage years, some of us 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, but no matter where you are, you already know your faults. You already know the buttons that people can push to put you in a bad place. You know those seasons that when they come, you just dread the time. I dread in my life when I have to pack up all my stuff and move to a new house. I'm just talking about a few things. I dread spring cleaning. I dread having to deal with situations that I didn't even start. Handling drama that I had nothing to do with. There are seasons, church. They're inevitable. You cannot escape them. They're coming. There will be times when you are going to be tested. And the Lord has brought you here tonight to give you a greater knowledge for what is ahead of you. Are you ready to get in this and preach a little while? I want you to go with me right now to Daniel in the second chapter. Now, you may be in one season of growth and family members or friends in another, and sometimes that'll cause real tension and difficulty. You see, it helps to understand when they're going through a different season than you are. That's why that sometimes you'll go to church and some people are able to shout the house down, and others are so burdened that they can hardly lift up their eyes. But God has ministered this to us so that those that are strong ought to bear the burdens of the weak. Let's read this scripture tonight. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Read with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. One more place I want to read right now. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Hallelujah. We're in it right now. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears, say that, from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The time we're in today, there are people that are hearing the word of God in the power and fullness of it, but are not listening to what God is really trying to say. We are in worship, and God is trying to bring out worship even greater out of us, but yet we are not willing to hear what God is trying to say. Have you ever been upset at somebody, and they continually tried to get your attention, and you chose not to acknowledge what they were trying to say? Do you remember how you felt when you did that? There was something that was inside of you that caused you to not want to listen, to not heed to what they were saying, and to be emotionally aggravated at what was in front of you. Church, the time has come. It's not coming. The time is come where we are in a place where God ministers the word, but we don't want anything to do with it. We have come to the time where worship is mighty and powerful and God's glory moves, yet we quench the spirit that is moving inside of a church house. We're in the time when people are lost and dying right in front of us, but yet we don't have the time anymore to help them. We don't have the time anymore to get down and pray with somebody. We don't have the time anymore to reach out to our children and teach them the things that we were taught. There was somebody one day when you were growing up that obeyed God and lived with purpose because you live in the same purpose that they had, and you are walking in the same things that God taught you when you were a young child. I'm here to tell you right now, if we don't learn to live exactly what we say that we live and to believe what we say that we believe, then we're going to have a generation that's not going to hear a word that we're saying. We could lead them unto life, but unless we show them that we're alive, nobody's going to know, and they're going to turn an ear away from what God would have to tell them. So now we're in the generation. I feel this right now, Sister Faye. We're now in the generation where the things that were once unacceptable has now came up to the forefront as choose you to accept this or be identified as someone who rejects and hates everybody. You say one bad thing about something that the Bible says is wrong, and everybody will throw you under the bus and make you feel like that you're just about this big. But there is a truth, and that truth tells me that if it's wrong, it's wrong. That if it is not for us and it's abomination against God, then it's nothing that we should be a part of. We're peer pressured today. So then when we hear the truth, we turn our ear for acceptance of public opinion. when the public would say, you no longer have to be radical. Then for us to be radical puts us under. Have you ever looked at something with a magnifying glass? You can see every detail. If you step out and do something that goes against the model the world is setting for what we should be doing, listen, we're more concerned about how the world thinks about us than we're even concerned about what God thinks about what we're doing. If we were concerned about what God thought we were doing, then the things we're doing we think's okay, we wouldn't feel so good about it. There'd be legitimate conviction deep down inside of our hearts, and our purpose gets lost when we're compromising to how the world would have us to walk. And if I took a stand for this 20 years from now, I'm here to tell you I would be persecuted and tried and thrown under the bus. But yet it's coming before us in the forefront as something we must just accept and choose to accept. So the things that we're preaching and telling people is wrong, when they hear it, they reject it, and the notion of even changing their mind is absurd. And this is where the devil has a lot of us pinned up with things today. The world would have you to not talk about Jesus when you're at your workplace, but at some point in time somebody had to talk about God for you to even know who God was. And when I got saved and when God changed my life, I walked around and heard people that didn't care about what I had to say, what I had to think about it. They just wanted me to hear what God was going to speak. So as we go on and we're in this day, I've been praying about this. What used to be easy to worship in is hard. Do you want to know why? It's certainly not the selection of songs. We've got 20 binders up here, and you can pick one, and we'll sing it for you if it'll get you to shout to the Lord. Come on. But it's not the song selection that's causing us to be drove away from where the Lord wants us to be. I've been praying and asking God, why are we turning away that which we know is good? Come on. Why are we turning away that which we know will help us? But I'm here to tell you that we're in that season of now where people that used to listen to what God would have them to do has turned their ear away. The Bible said that the day would come that there wouldn't be a famine for just the preaching of the word. It said, but there'd be a famine for the hearing of the word. There will be a famine where there will be few that truly listen to the purpose of God. And that's why the Bible said, if you look out at the fields of harvest, look around you, the fields are plenteous, but the laborers are few. It was talking about there are a few people in the world that will actually listen to what God will have them to do. There's only a few people left in this day and age. I would be so bold as to say 1 out of 10 would be bold enough to listen to what God would have them to do. But we're talking about a generation today that is wanting us to live in the media and to live in public opinion instead of listening to what the Word of God tells us is acceptable and unacceptable. If you want to live with some purpose, you've got to learn to walk in the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word will prove you to be true every single time. It causes us to turn the other cheek. I don't want to hear that, brother. Somebody say, I don't want to hear that. Teaches us to forgive when we're wronged. Teaches us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Told us to walk, not just get them every now and then, but to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. I'm okay. How long has I'm okay got you through? Not very long that I've ever found. When you think that you can do this on your own, then you will find failure and destruction sometime down the road. Because without God's guidance, without God's leadership in your life through the Holy Spirit, then you'll not even understand what you need to be doing for His glory. This is pretty tough stuff, huh? That's all right. Did you know surveys have been given to people of the general public, and they willingly admit that out of 4 people, they'll probably not like one of them? That means maybe 1/4 of you may not like me. Isn't that interesting? But just because I'm aware of that information doesn't change my purpose. You know that a walk with God is not always easy. You know that there's going to be times of pain, times where you lose people that you love, times when you feel pressed down and everybody else seems to be fine. Who am I talking to? Times when you simply feel like you can't go on. I've been there. I've felt that despair everywhere, and my heart breaks. Because I see what we have here. I see the good that God has in you. But I also see a very active and very real enemy that is seeking to destroy you. But friends, it's time that we simply open our ears to God. Learn to hear what He tells us. You know what He spoke to me before, Brother Gary? To love my neighbor as I love me. Powerful. If you can come in and love everybody more than you love you, you don't have to be the most talented. You can show something to a generation that only lives, as the Bible said, to go after their own things and raising themselves up as teachers. There are people that are teaching other people that things that we frown upon as Christians are acceptable. We know drugs are wrong, don't we? But it's coming up in our community. It's being legalized by our government. Listen, people think alcohol and marijuana are the big demons in this world today. Friend, I'm here to tell you there are far greater forces that are among you. Listen, people think alcohol and marijuana are the big demons in this world today. Friend, I'm here to tell you there are far greater forces that are among you. The only way that you're going to reach them is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There was a man possessed by the name of Legion. All the disciples were ready to get to work and do something good. But it took a special kind of power to cast off these things. If we really want to see our community delivered, would you be willing to assemble every day and pray until we saw it delivered? Or is this too much for your life? If it was going to cost you something to see what you desire to come to pass, would you be willing to give up what you have to see it come? God's not coming in and preaching through His preachers for you to give up your vehicles and to give up your housing and to give up all your possessions to see the things that you desire. He is talking about giving you a power that does not come by just what you give. He was talking about a power that we would be able to do the works that we did. It shall be greater. But we're not willing to pay the price because we will not listen to when God is speaking. God speaks to you every day. When you see the speed limit sign and you put your foot to the gas anyway, come on now. When you see somebody drop all their groceries and you feel like you need to help them pick them up, God's speaking to you. When you see somebody that can't get in the door on their own and you go walk over and open the door, it's easy to see that we need to help those that are in need. When you see somebody that comes in the house of God that is in bondage, what causes us to quench that part of what God has given us to do? I'm not up here to get a bigger house. I'm not up here to get a bigger car. I'm not up here to get material things. But I lay my life on the line so that when God wants me to be ready for the very real enemies out there, that when I speak in the name of Jesus, those demons be loosed, that God will begin to move and cause a stirring up in this day. Friend, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to be accepted by this generation. You're not going to be okay by this world. But if you'll serve God, He'll give you everything that you could ever desire. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And all that He would have you to do is to say that I believe in the Word of God. I take a stand for what I believe, and I live what I say I live.